Listen, we're starting a new preaching series this month in honor of Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving holiday. We call this like Thanksgiving holiday, Thanksgiving month. But we're talking about raise your praise.
Yes. Thank you.
Raise your praise. Again, as we look at the Thanksgiving holiday, we all know we have a whole lot to be thankful for. Y'all, I got to stay right in front of this microphone. Y'all know I like to move, so y'all, the pastor, get back under the microphone. Get back under the microphone. I like to move, though. But we have so much to be grateful for,
yeah.
So much to be thankful for, so much to praise God for, that we can praise God for our families.
Yeah.
We praise God for our friends.
Yeah.
We praise God that we have a job, we have a little money in the bank, that we have a house to live in, that we have a roof over our head, we have material possession. We have much to give praise to God for. But I found out something, that if we're not careful, we will allow the daily struggles of life, those obstacles, that problems that come our way to rob us of our praise. And I just want to let us know today, don't allow anything to rob you of your praise to God. Why? Because God is worthy to be praised.
Yes, yeah.
And oftentimes, y'all, we can come into the house of God. We can come to the house of worship, and we can lift up holy hands, and we give a shout, that we listen to some music, that we hear a word from God, that we say we came into a praise and worship service. But what happens after the music stops? What happens when we go home to what we call, quote, unquote, real life? I think I got a few witnesses in the house today that know that after you leave the house of God, when you go home, you realize that God is still worthy to be praised. And I just don't let anything put a delete on your praise to stop you from your worship and your praise to God on a daily basis. I realize that sometimes praise can be a sacrifice.
Yeah.
I realize that sometimes the things that we deal with, y'all, they're real and they're hard, and the struggle is real, but God is still worthy of our praise today.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how you feel.
Still.
It doesn't matter what you're going through.
Yeah.
That he's still worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
And so I want us just to raise our praise over these next few weeks. Raise your level of praise, your expectation of praise. Listen, you might be the quiet one that says, listen, I don't do it like that. But can I just challenge you and push you just a little bit? Because a big part of praise, it is about being demonstrative. It is about being loud. It is about being active and all of that. It is about that, to raise your praise to God. So again, this series is just to remind us about the importance of praise, that we raise our praise to God. And so this morning, y'all, we're coming from a familiar passage of Scripture, Psalm 150. Psalm 150. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Psalm 150. Psalm 150, I'll read it in its entirety, verses 1 through 6, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Praise the Lord. Do y'all see, is it an exclamation point in y'all? It's one in mine. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that hath breath sing praises to God. Praise the Lord. Oh, y'all should have been shouting right now, giving God a praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen. I just want to speak from the subject. This ought to be second nature. This ought to be second nature. So second nature, thank you so much, Usher. Second nature, y'all, is when you do something easy.
Yes.
Something that comes natural to us. Something second nature is something that becomes a part of our character. Something that we're used to doing over and over and over again. A chef knows how to cook. It's what they do. They do it over and over and over again. I praise God for good cooks. That is second nature to him. You come by the house, Sister Trina. I'll sit down for a minute. Let me put something together for you. That it's her good. It's her gift. It comes second nature to Sister Trina. So everybody, Sister Trina's in the back of the room. Raise your hand so they can see you. So if y'all want to invite Sister Trina, okay, I'm out of threw under the bus. She gonna get me. But she can burn. She's a chef. She can cook. It comes second nature to, and the food is good, y'all. A pilot knows how to fly a plane. For seasoned pilots, flying is second nature to them. It's something they're accustomed to doing. That the turbulence is in the air, that the plane is rocking and it's shaking. And if y'all like me, I'm praying and I get a little frightened. But when I know there's a seasoned pilot on the plane, and it's second nature to them, I can rest a little bit easy. And I rest more easy knowing that I'm in God's hands. And so second nature, a surgeon. Most of us, if not all of us, want a surgery performed on us by a surgeon in which it's second nature to them. That they've gone to school, but they've done surgery after surgery after surgery. And the surgeries become second nature to them. They're accustomed to do it, and they can do it. They can do it well. Think about young people, y'all. We're talking about second nature. We're living in a generation where young people and young children, y'all, they can pick up a phone, y'all, and they can click on it and flip through it and go through it. And the other day, we're looking at TV, and Ario was saying, "Do you want me to change your avatar?" I say, "Change what?" So we're looking at Netflix, and there's these little characters on it. And she takes the remote control from it. Let me change your avatar for you. And she flips through the devices, y'all. I think, I don't know who I'm set on, who my picture was on, something. It was a rabbit or something. And it's a Papa. And she goes through the remote control, y'all, clicking the buttons, and changes me over to Thor. I said, "Yeah, it looks more like me, yeah." But she's 5 years old. So computers and technology is now, it's second nature to them. Sister Latanya, the accountant. Accountants know how to count. It's numbers are second nature to her. That she can look at a balance sheet, that she can look at a profit and loss statement, and she can say things are good, things are going well, they're not going. It's second nature to her. She's been an accountant for a number of years. I say all of that to say this. That I believe that we got some praisers in the house today. And I just believe this, that praise ought to be second nature to the child of God. If he saved your life, if he's given you a new nature, then praise ought to be second nature to you. I shouldn't have to pump you or prime you when I say praise the Lord, because you know he's worthy to be praised. And do I have any saved folk in the house? Y'all looking to be strange right now. It ought to be second nature to open up your mouth, lift up your hands, and give praise to God, because you know that he is, that he's worthy. Praising God should be second nature to us. But let me ask you, is praising God really second nature to you? Only you know that. Do you find it hard and difficult to be demonstrative in your praise? Perhaps open up your mouth in a congregation of people, to clap your hands or to pat your foot.
Come on.
To open your mouth if you're able, and to tell God thank you. To praise and to bless his name. So if you find it difficult, I hope that somewhere in this series that something happens on the inside of you. That you'd be able to raise your praise, your level of your expectation, your personal expectation of your praise to God who is able. So Psalm 150 is the concluding book to the Psalms. That the Psalms, y'all, they're like this roller coaster ride of the human experience. That the Psalms are filled with human emotion. I like it where the songwriter says, "Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Sometimes I'm level to the ground. Yes, Lord." Anybody ever been there before? That's the human experience. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, and sometimes we're somewhere in between. But this catalog of songs, it begins with blessings to God, blessings from God to us, Oh, the joy of those who put their trust in God, who don't follow after the counsel of the wicked, but they meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. Psalm 1. And it ends with praise to God. Here's what I really believe. If you know that your trust is in God and you really trust God, that your hope is in him, that you know that he saved you, that you know that he's keeping you, that if you know the joy of the Lord, the joy of trusting God, then you ought to go over to Psalm 150 and bless his name. That you ought to praise him and to lift him up and to magnify him. So Psalm 150, y'all, it strategically asks some questions about praise. And so what we want to do today is kind of look at some of these strategic questions that are about praise in this text that could help us today in perhaps raising our level of praise to God so that it really becomes second nature to us. And so the first thing I want us to look at, I want to say, is this. We can raise our level of praise. It can become second nature to us when we understand the where of praise. The where of praise. Look at Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Again, starts out, praise the Lord. So there are a number of Hebrew words for praise. That there is zamar, there is the plucking and the playing of the instrument. That there is tehillah, there's praising God in song. That there is toda, there's the lifting of the hand in commendation to God. That there are a number of words that describe what it means to praise God, and about seven of them, so to speak. But the psalmist says here, praise the Lord. This Hebrew word is halal. That it's the root of hallelujah. Halal. Praise Yah or Yahweh. Praise the Lord. So to say praise the Lord is to simply say hallelujah. Can I get somebody to say hallelujah this morning? praise the Lord. And halal is an honor and commendation. It's boasting about God. It is speaking loudly and glorious of the God that we serve. Praise the Lord. That we praise the God. We praise Yahweh in heaven for his mighty acts towards us. And so it's expressive. That it's demonstrative, y'all. This praise, y'all, it's not this subtle, it's sitting praise and looking at the pastor like he's strange kind of praise. It's opening our mouths up to God. It's not being concerned to who's to your right or to your left, but it's about giving true praise to God. And think about this. In graduation, y'all, there are three levels of honor. There's cum laude, there is magna cum laude, and then the highest, there is summa cum laude. You know, maybe there's a fourth one. Thank you, Lordy, if you can graduate. It's just thank you, Lordy. I'm in that category. Thank you, Lord. In the realm of praise, y'all, there is high praise, there is higher praise, and there is the highest praise. So for some friends, you might give some high praise, some cum laude, because they're your ace boom coon. That's your friend. For people that you know that really love you, that listen, they respect you, listen, they've helped you out, they've favored you, you might do some magna cum laude. You know, because they've been good to you. So that's higher praise. But there's one praise that we need to graduate to. It's one praise that's reserved only to God. And God all by himself. It's a summa cum laude praise. It's the highest praise. That nobody deserves praise like God. You come on. Y'all ain't feeling me in the house today. Nobody deserves praise like God. Can you give him a summa cum laude praise today? Not for me. I'm talking about him. God has been too good to us. Can you praise him with your voice? Can you praise him with the clapping of your hands? He's worthy to be praised. God, I came to give you my summa cum laude today. The highest praise to God. And the psalmist says, y'all, we're just walking through the text. Praise God in his sanctuary. Well, what is that? What is that talking about? And so the Israelites would have understood, when you know their history, that The sanctuary would have originally been the tabernacle.
Yeah. Right.
That when God took them through the wilderness, they had what I would call a tent. They'd have a tent church meeting. It's the place that God called them to assemble together. He gave them instructions on how to put the tabernacle together. And it represented the presence of God. Later on in Israel's history, they built a fixed facility where they had the sanctuary, a hardened facility, a building. And they had a sanctuary, and they had a place called the Holy of Holiest. That's the place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. That was the place where God dwelt, his Shekinah, his glory, dwelt amongst his people. And so the sanctuary was simply a symbolic of God's presence amongst his people. But y'all, we have something to shout about today.
Yeah.
All right.
Because the dwell amongst us God has now become the God that dwells in us. And God is now tabernacled with us by the power of his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. He has tabernacled with us. It's the Spirit of God that cries out, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit of God living on the inside of us that calls us to praise God. We understand the where of praise him in the sanctuary, but praise him also in his mighty heaven. Old King James says in the firmament. That's a strange word to us today, the firmament. What's that? But it's everything up above the earth. Sanctuary on the earth, the firmament, his high heavens, the atmosphere above the earth, as far as we can see, beyond as far as we can see, that those become the heavens. So let me make it real simple. That the psalmist is saying to us today, as he said to Israel then, we're to praise God where on the earth? We're to praise him to his highest heavens. Let me make it real simple. Listen, wherever you are, that's where you ought to praise God. It doesn't matter. On earth, in heaven, God is worthy to be praised. Heavens, the angels in heaven are praising his name. We here on earth ought to be praising his name. I found out something too. If the angels are always praising God night and day, we simply join in what they're doing night and day. Do we have some people in the house that join with the angels in praise today? Heaven and earth, wherever you are to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him when you get out of bed in the morning. Back may be hurting and all. Snap, crackle, and pop and all. That he's worthy to be praised. Yo, I, on the real, when I get up in the morning, y'all, I don't have a radio by the bed. But I always have this song in my heart.
Yes.
One song with another. Every time I get up in the morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That I don't sing it out loud, but it's going off in my head.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And sometimes it's like, Lord, I know you've been so good. Lord, I know you've been so good. You watch over me all night long. Lord, I know you've been so good. That's one of my songs, y'all. It's just going off in my head. It's another day's journey. And I'm glad about it. Anybody glad? I'm glad about it. That's another one that it's just going off in my head. That's just me. I know I'm strange to y'all, but I have this song that goes. Anytime I get up and I'm breathing and I know I'm blessed in God, I just get this song that goes off in my head. When we understand the where of praise becomes second nature to us, y'all, that we can praise him when we get up in the morning. We can praise him in the home. We can praise him when we're taking a shower, y'all. We can praise him when we go to work. We can praise him in the house of God, y'all. We can praise him when we go to the mall. We can praise him in our ups and in our downs, our troubles, and our, we can give praise to God. We can praise him on the mountain. We can praise him in the valley. Wherever we are to give God some praise, y'all. He's worthy to be praised. I think about Paul and Silas, y'all. Y'all know the story in the book of Acts when Paul and Silas were in jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were bound in chains. And the Bible says it was midnight. and what was Paul? What were they doing? They had a praise party going on. And the Bible says that the earth quaked. and the jail began to shake, and the doors flung open on the prison cells, and the chains fell off of everyone in the prison, and they were able to walk out. It all happened as they began to praise the Lord. Can you praise God in a prison experience? When you feel like you're on lockdown, that there's no escape, no way out, can you still open up your mouth? Can you still put your hands together and praise God? Can you praise God in your midnight situation when it's dark in your life, when it's dank and it's depressing? Can you still give praise to God? I remember a sister years ago, we were in England, and y'all, we'd have lunch together, me and a couple of fellas and some of the sisters. We were all went to the same church, and we gathered together, and you just somebody would open us up with prayer as we prayed over our lunch meal in the chow hall dining facility for you sophisticated folk. But the chow hall folk food was good, y'all. There was some good stuff. About 75 cents, y'all, you could have a full meal. Now, that's what I'm talking about. But y'all, one day we sat down, and this sister, y'all, it was her turn to pray, and sister got to, now we're just praying over the meal now because I want to eat. But sister bowed her head, and she began to think about the goodness of the Lord. This wasn't no act. This wasn't nothing play. We're in the middle of the chow hall, folk all around the chow, and she bowed her, and then also her shoulder did this. And y'all, she went into overdrive, and she began to bless the name of God. Tears began to fill her eyes, y'all. She did a Reverend Boykin on the shelf. She began to praise God and bless his name just as loud as she wanted to be. Y'all, and she's praying, and she's praying, and she's praising God. And the food is cold. I'm saying, girl, go on, girl, but I'm ready to eat now. Go on. But the point is, the point of it all is, it didn't matter where she was. Wherever you realize and think about the goodness of God, that's the time to open up your mouth. That's the time to lift up your hand. At the very place that God blesses you and you are aware of his blessing, that's the time to praise him. Y'all, I was over at 1111 Tally Road the other day, y'all. And my heart began to leap, y'all. I began to praise God for what God is doing for this church. Whenever you realize that God is blessing you, that God is moving in your life, that's a point of praise. That's the point that you ought to open up your mouth. That I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell it wherever I go. Whether it's in a boardroom or a courtroom, or it doesn't matter. That he's worthy to be praised. Wherever we are, when we understand the where of praise. But not only that, y'all, it's important that we understand the what for of praise. Look at verse 2. We're going to get through this quickly. Verse 2. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. So verse or stanza 2, it talks about what God has done for us, his mighty works. And it praises God for who he is, that he is the God of unequaled greatness, that God has no comparisons. There's nobody like, he has no equals. There's nobody like our God. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Holy is who he is. But by his very nature, God is holy. He has no equals, that he's perfect in all of his ways. Bless his holy name. Holy is who he is. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. This is what God does for us. What does he do for us? What are some of the benefits of God? It says, he pardons all your guilt. Is there some guilty folk? Yes, y'all, we done it right there. But he pardons all of our guilt. He heals all our disease. When you were sick and could not get well, that God healed your body, who redeemed your life from the pit, that he lifts you out of depression and despair and dark places. This is the God we serve. These are some of his benefits, who crowns you with favor and compassion and his hesed, that his unfailing love. This is the God that we serve. I found out something. That's it. Bless his name. Child of God, bless his name. Hallelujah. Praise God for his unfailing. Here's something I found out. Listen, what God does is still equal to who God is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
God is righteous, and he does righteously. That God is good, and he does good. That God is who he says he is. God can do what he says that he can do. You know how you can't separate water? It's H2O, two different types of hydrogen. If I remember my chemistry well, and one part oxygen. Thank you. Thank you so much to the chemist in the house. That you can't separate it. It's what water is. It's H2O. And what does it do? It quenches our thirst. The same thing with God. That you can't separate God from his holiness, from his righteousness, from his goodness, from his grace, and from his mercy. And he does all of that. And he's the God that quenches our thirst. Those that Jesus said believes on him, listen, out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And so we're to focus on him for the what for. And I believe sometimes when you focus on the what for, it's your reason, it's your why of praising God. Listen, it can cause your praise to go into overdrive, y'all. It's, some people call it the can't help it. Some people really think that praising God becomes too emotional. That it doesn't call for all of that. We're talking about hallel. We're talking about hallelujah. We're talking about praise the Lord. This kind of praise that we get too emotional, that we're too expressive. I think there's a difference between emotion and emotionalism. So emotion is what happens on the field, whether it's between the Cowboys and the Eagles, when well, whatever happens today happens today. Whatever happens happens. But emotion happens when there's a play on the field and the players do well, y'all, and people jump up in excitement and yay, and they go hurrah, go team, go team, go team. That's emotion. But emotionalism is when nothing is happening on the field and people praising for no reason. Ain't nothing happened. Wait a minute. So I think there are a lot of people that deal with emotionalism, that they aren't even aware of all that's happening and taking place in their lives, and there's a whole lot of praise over nothing. But listen, emotion is what God gives us. It's God-given. And as we look at the playing field of our own lives, and God is active, and God is busting some plays, and God is moving in our lives. And yes, we ought to be filled with motion. Yes, we ought to lift up our hands. Yes, we ought to shout with a voice of triumph. There's nothing wrong with being emotional.
That's right.
Do you get me today?
Yes,
there's nothing wrong with it at all. Because God is someone to get excited about.
Yeah.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. And he's been better to me than the Cowboys or the Spurs. As a matter of fact, they've done nothing for me. They might get your money. They may get your time as you sit down and watch them on television, or if you can afford to go to the stadium these days, as much as it costs, and still buy a drink and some popcorn and a hot dog and spend $100. You know, I said 100, yes. But God has done so much for us. And speaking parenthetically, let me just say this too. Now listen, I don't judge anybody's praise. You might be one of the more quieter praisers. You may be demonstrative and loud. I'm not judging anybody's praise. But if I ever go to a game with you and you start jumping up and shouting for the team, And I know you sitting up in the church house and you quiet and ain't saying nothing. I'm going to talk about you. If you can praise a football team, a basketball team, you ought to be able to give God some praise. Hallelujah, anyhow. So I'm almost done. A couple of the points here. We have the Lord's Supper, and then we'll get on with our day. The praise becomes second nature to us when we understand the what with of praise. That's verses 3-5. Let me read it quickly. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strange flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. That praise can become second nature when we understand the what with of praise. And so we see a number of different instruments listed in this psalm, and some of them are loud instruments, the horn, the clashing of cymbals, the clanging of the tambourine, and some of them are soft and quiet. Whether you praise God softly under the sound of your voice or whether you praise him loudly,
right,
it's necessary that you give God, that we give God, that we give God praise. We have to understand the what with of praise. That I don't care how loud you may be, how quiet you might be, that we ought to praise God.
Amen.
And then the psalmist says something interesting, that we're to praise him in the dance as well.
Yeah.
Now I don't take it for granted that everybody in here is a dancer. that somebody told me that once. You know, that's not your 10. But listen, if I can dance for the Lord, I'm going to dance for the Lord. So I'm saying this to say something. So when you talked about dance in that day, dance was either a personal dance or dance was they would join hands and they would circle around and they give praise to God and they circle around. So line dancing, y'all, ain't that new? The Soul Train line, it ain't nothing new. It's okay, at least here at Living Faith. Listen, if you want to dance before the Lord, keep it clean now. Listen, we ain't twerking up in here. But the tone has been set here that if you want to dance before the Lord, it's okay to give your dance to God. But whether you play an instrument or not, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you can dance, maybe you can't. But here's what I know. The true praise, authentic praise, has to come from the heart. That's where it all starts. Yeah, we can have a digital piano. We can have an acoustic piano. We can have a Hammond B3 kind of look-alike. We can have drum sets, y'all. We can have a nice sound system, PowerPoint presentations, and never really offer God true praise when it's not from the heart. I've been in church just about my whole life. And I remember growing up in what I still call the old church, y'all. Where y'all it was an old dusty acoustic piano that wasn't in tune most of the time. And maybe we would have a drum set, a drummer, or maybe we would not. I still remember old wooden floors in the church, y'all, where people kept rhythm by the beating of their feet and the clapping of their hands, y'all. I remember when the church would be on fire, y'all. We didn't have all of this stuff, and people would open up their mouths, and they would put their hands together, and they would offer God true praise. Praise comes from the heart. And so whether it's the newer forms of praise, I don't think there's a holier than holy kind of praise. It starts in the heart. But so even in this new praise, y'all, in this new generation where y'all got these songs, y'all, it's got about 500 words in it. So I'm too old to remember half of them. Y'all, bless y'all hard today, y'all. I love me some Maverick City and some Elevation Worship. They just got a whole bunch of words in their songs. And so we'll sing some of that. We'll do some of that. But know this. This is what I want you to hear and understand. True praise comes from your heart. Do you love God?
Yes, Lord.
Does praise come as second nature to you?
Thank
Does praise really come from your heart? When we understand the what with of praise. And so, concluding with this verse 6, let everything that breathes, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Simply teaching us that all of God's living creation ought to praise him. The whole of Psalm 140, when you have a chance to look at it, it declares the heavens and the earth should praise God. The angels, the sun, and the moon should praise God. The stars, the clouds, the birds, the fish, the animals and trees. That praise is in the birds chirp. That praise is in the lion's roar. That a lion is being what God created it to be. And when it roars, it's praising God. That praise is in a dog's bow wow. It's in a cat's meow. That praise is in the sun's shine. It's in the moon's glow. That praise is in the turtle's slow. That praise is in the swaying of the mighty oak trees. It's in the gentle breeze. But listen, it's God's crowning creation. God created us for worship and praise. And nothing or no one should praise God the way we ought to praise God. God created you to praise him. God created you to lift up your hand and to open up your mouth. God created you to praise him. And while I'm talking about this, let me make it plain and true. That praise has to be more than noise and activity. If praise really begins in the heart, then it means that your heart is set on the things of God. I'll say this real quick, and I'm going to leave it alone, but it's true. Listen, praise and obedience go together, y'all. I got to say it. Praise and obedience go together. That you can't come into the house of God on a Sunday, and you're lifting up holy hands, and you're shouting, and you're saying, yes, God is good, and then on Monday you're living low. It got quiet then. If you're talking about praise, a sacrificial praise that God offered, that God deserves and God loves, it's based on obedience. It's got to be based on obedience. And so we who have received God's gracious invitation to salvation, we know where all of our help comes from. All of our help comes from the Lord. Is praise something that you do very easily? Is it something that you do naturally? It ought to come second nature to us because we understand the where of praise, the what for of praise, the what with of praise. We understand the who of praise, that God is calling us to praise him. That's who the text is talking about, you and me.
Thank you, Lord.
The who of praise is us. Yeah. Everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord. You and me, we are called to give praise to God.
That's right.
Almost done, y'all. So one Sunday morning, a visitor showed up in one of those more formal liturgical churches. You know, it's not one he was used to attending. You know, it's a church where things were pretty quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And so it made it all the more obvious that he wasn't attending the church when the pastor said something he agreed with. And he said, praise the Lord.
Right.
Person next to him nudged him real quick and said, shh, wait a minute, wait a minute. We don't do praise the Lord around here. Other guy on the other side, yeah, we do. It's hymn number 15 in the hymnal. Praise is right there. I just want to let y'all know, this ain't that kind of church. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. This is the church where you can feel free to praise God. That you can open up your mouth, that you can lift up your hands, that you can lift up your voice. And if you want to dance, you can dance before the Lord. David, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, dance like David danced. You can dance if you want to. Shout if you want to. Jump for joy if you want to. Praise God with your whole heart. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great I am. He is a Savior. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. And I came to let you know today, you can praise God. It ought to be second nature to you. This just ought to be second nature. If you know how good God has been good to you, it ought to be second nature. Have you ever noticed it when you're breathing? Breathing is second nature. that you've been sitting here all of this time and you've just been breathing. You've been breathing, but have you been blessing? Have you been praising God? Have you been magnifying his name? Have you been lifting it? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you're here today and you got some breath, you ought to praise God. You ought to bless his holy name. You ought to lift him up. You ought to magnify him. God is a good God. Yes, he is. God is a good God. Yes, he is. And we bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And amen. Hallelujah. This ought to be second nature. This ought to be second nature. This ought to be second nature, y'all. God has been too good. He's been too good. He's been too wonderful. And praising him ought to be. I'm done, y'all. Second. It ought to be easy. It ought to be natural. You got a new nature. It ought to be natural. Praising God shouldn't be hard for you. I shouldn't have to pump you or prime you or even tell you to praise God. Listen, if you woke up this morning, y'all, and you know how good God has been to you, when you came into the house of God this morning, you should have come in with a praise on your heart, a praise on your lip, thanking God for all of his goodness for you today. Hallelujah and amen. Raise your praise. Your level of praise, your expectation. What's your personal expectation of your ability and desire to praise the Lord? Amen and amen. That's it for this morning. Y'all listen, there may be someone here today that perhaps you don't have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And really our worship services really come down to this. To praise this God that we talk about, that we get so joyful, gleeful, and happy about. We do it because we have a relationship with him. That we know what it means to be saved. That God sent his son Jesus Christ. He came down to earth. That he gave his life as a ransom for many. And that whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved and saved from our sins. Isaiah said it best, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon us. By his stripes we are healed. What is that healing? It's healing from sin. It's healing that brings us to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you are here today, if you're tuned into Facebook Live, that we want to offer you what we cannot give, but we can only offer. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do you do that today? You admit that you are a sinner, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That's what his word says. And we repent. We turn from our sins and we turn to the Lord. And we believe. Our belief is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no other way to salvation. We confess this Jesus with our mouths. That we make a heart assent, a mental assent that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we believe it and we trust it with all of our hearts. And that saves us. And that settles it. Yeah, we walk it out after that. Day by day, it's a process. They call that sanctification, that we're becoming more like Jesus. But it starts with a relationship with Jesus. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you so much for today's word. That our praise to you ought to be second nature. But praise means nothing if we don't have a relationship with you. It's just noise. That praise comes from a sincere heart, an honest heart that trusts you. And that trust starts with a relationship with Jesus. So, Father, I pray, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you speak to the hearts of those that are gathered here today that may not have a relationship with you. That you speak to the hearts of those that are tuned into Facebook Live today, those that may not have a relationship with you. That by the power of your Holy Spirit, you speak to their hearts and they receive you today. For that person, oh God, that may be in a saving relationship, but they're not in a part of a congregation, a church where they can fellowship with other believers, pray with other believers. God, we pray that you would draw them by your Spirit only as you can. And we trust you in this matter, oh God, that you do all things well. Draw them by your Spirit, we do pray. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.